Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 12. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not support both of them living together because their possessions were so great that they could not live together. Thus, strife rose between the herders of Abram's livestock and the herders of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites lived in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me and between your herders and my herders, for we are kindred. It's not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." Lot looked about him and saw that the plain of the Jordan was well watered everywhere, and the garden of the Lord like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the plain and moved his tent as far as Sodom. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
That's your last week getting to see those tiny children fighting, so sorry about that. It is our final week of our stewardship series, and today is such a special week in the life of our church because, yeah, we had baptisms, we've had some really amazing moments, and it is Commitment Sunday. So toward the end of the service, you likely received, if you got a bulletin today, you likely received a card. You'll get a chance to fill out this card and bring it up as we make our financial commitments for the 2026 ministry year. We're going to get to that toward the end of the service. But before we do, I have to tell you that this is one of my very favorite Sundays of the entire ministry year, because this is a Sunday where we get to celebrate the year that we've just had. We get to look ahead to what God is going to do in the next year, and we get to consider how are we each going to be a part of what God is doing here in our church and in our community and our wider world. So that's why we're wrapping up our Mine series by looking at one more thing that we have, one more resource, one more thing that we're able to be generous with. Today we're looking at the idea of what is my choice. Now, if you think about it, our whole lives kind of revolve around the choices that we make. Some choices are really big. They require lots of thought and intentionality. Some of our choices almost don't feel like choices at all. They're more like reflexes, things that we do automatically. But whether they're big or small or somewhere in between, the choices that we make have a way of shaping our lives. One of the bigger choices that I've made in my life, I guess I should say Zach and I made in our lives together, was where we were going to have our wedding reception 15 years ago. Now, we looked at a lot of different venues, and the process of trying to choose a reception venue was very overwhelming, at least to me. You can ask Zach later if it was overwhelming to him. But for me, it was so overwhelming because there were all the info sheets. There was the package pricing. There were the sales pitches made by very skilled wedding coordinators at each site. And every time you would drive home, they would send you with a little brochure, and they would all say something to the effect of, if you have your reception here, it's going to be the most memorable day of every single person's lives who walks through that door. I mean, it was, the promises were very big. And honestly, like, every venue was awesome. It was all pretty. It was all great. And so we very quickly realized that we would have to pinpoint what the most important thing was to us as we made that choice. Now, for us, it came down to something very spiritual, very deep. It came down to the food, which if you've been to anything I've hosted, you're like, that does track. It's true. And so we ended up going with something that wasn't even on our initial list. We ended up going with a restaurant that had a big space that could accommodate a party because we knew with that most important piece of the choice in mind, we could just relax. They would get that right. We could figure out the rest. And I will tell you, 15 years later, we still have people that comment on how good the food was. And I feel very proud of myself and our choice in doing that. But if you think about your own life and the choices that you've had to make, my guess is you've been in a similar mindset as you've tried to make them, where you've had to let your values guide the choices that you make. Because our choices tend to reveal a lot about what matters most to us. We see this play out in our scripture today. It's the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot, and this choice or choices that they both make, which end up having this huge impact on their future and the way that their lives are going to turn out. Now, as we look at this story, it's probably good for us to understand just a little bit more about who Abraham is. This is a man who has a pretty special connection to God. God has made him this promise earlier in his life. God has said, Abraham, you are going to build a nation through your family. You're going to have so many descendants, you won't even be able to count them. And the people that come from Abraham, they're going to be known as God's people, destined to have their own promises, destined to have their own special connection to this same God. Now, this promise that God makes Abraham, it is so powerful. It's so beautiful. It's also really difficult to believe. See, Abraham has some things going on in his life that don't exactly set up the pieces for this to make sense to be true. First of all, he and his wife Sarah, they can't have children. And in their time, this went against the whole descendants as numerous as the stars bit. Also, they've had to move from place to place because of different challenges. And so thinking about rooting themselves in a particular land and really growing and flourishing a community, it doesn't really make a lot of sense for them. There's just kind of obstacle after obstacle to trusting God for Abraham and his family. And what we see in Abraham's story, if you read through Genesis, is that he doesn't always trust God very well. We actually have several examples of him making sort of questionable choices because that trust can be so hard to come by. But this story that we read today, this story sort of marks a change for Abraham. Because we find him in this story, he's traveling with his wife and his workers and his animals, and his nephew Lot is doing the same thing. You can kind of picture these two giant family groups making their way through the land, and they're all doing pretty well for themselves as they do that. The text told us this. It says, the land could not support both of them living together because their possessions were so great that they could not live together. And so for whatever challenges Abraham has gone through, what's clear in this scripture is that he's actually doing pretty well for himself. And he has more than he needs, and the same is true for Lot. But as great as that abundance is, it's caused some challenges for them. There are not enough resources to go around. Like, they cannot feed all of those animals that they're traveling with the little bit of land that they have. And these conflicts are starting to pop up between the people in their groups. And so they realize if they don't choose a different course of action soon, it's possible that the relationship between these two groups, it's going to break to a point where it can't actually be repaired. So Abraham decides to take it upon himself to solve this problem and try to make life better for this group of people as a whole. He goes to Lot and he tells him, look, Lot, we can't keep doing what we're doing and think that we're going to be okay. We have no choice but to split up. And how we do that, we're going to work together to figure out what works for you. And so in this moment, Abraham offers Lot a choice of his own. You might have noticed it in the scripture, but there are these two very distinct areas of land that they're choosing between. And Abraham lets Lot choose first. He lets Lot decide what's going to work best for him and his family. And just by setting this up the way that Abraham does, I think we see a value coming through in his choice. We see what's important to him in this moment. Because for Abraham, as important as the land is, and I don't want to downplay that I do think the land is important, what's most important to him is the people. In this moment, he chooses people. I think it's really remarkable in this story that Abraham gives Lot the first choice. He does not need to do that. Abraham is in charge here. He is the patriarch of this family. Like, he is the guy. And yet, he defers to his nephew. Instead of acting from a place where he's thinking, okay, what's going to be best for me? What's going to make Abraham's life easier? He says, what's going to benefit these people that I love and care about? How do I do that as we make this really hard choice? Now, Abraham isn't the only one who makes a choice in this moment. Now that Abraham has given Lot the first go, it's Lot's turn to choose. And what Lot does here is he sort of looks to his left, he looks to his right, and he sees two stark contrasts. He sees one area of land that it is green and lush and looks great for settling in. And then he looks over here and he's like, that is the actual desert. And so you can imagine which one Lot chooses. It makes a lot of sense. He picks the wonderful, lush land and he leaves Abraham to figure out how he's going to make it in this next chapter of his life that begins in the desert. I kind of wondered when I read this, is if there was a moment for Abraham, despite his faith, despite that special relationship he has with God, I wondered, is there a moment where Abraham looks at the situation and just thinks, yikes, what did I do? Why did I choose people over the thing that would have benefited me so clearly? Instead of comfort, he chooses people, and there's absolutely no guarantee that what he has chosen is going to work out. You know, when we choose people, it usually is a pretty risky endeavor. There's a lot we can't control about what's going to happen. We have to do things like embrace change and uncertainty and, you know, the actual people that come with choosing people, which can be challenging in itself. But that risk can lead to so many beautiful ways that God can work. If we can just say yes to it, if we can just lean in, we can be amazed at what God can do. In 2026, here at Midtown, we're going to get to make this kind of choice. We're going to get to choose people and maybe take a risk while we do it. You may have noticed that our community has seen a lot of growth in 2025. Every week, we have new guests, and soon enough, what I am seeing is that those new guests who enter the gathering area and look like, where is the bathroom and where do I go? They start to become familiar faces in this space. We're watching our serving teams grow as people say yes to trying to serve in new ministries and support what we're doing, and I don't know if you've noticed, but this room is getting cozy. There's a reason that we had our kids start up front because we wanted to make sure we had room for everyone. Some weeks, we're actually maybe a little uncomfortably full in this space. Soon enough, what we are noticing as a leadership team is it's going to get really hard for us to welcome new people well. We want people, when they come in this space, to know that there is a place for them, to know that they are welcome, to not feel like, oh, it's already full and I don't belong here. And so here's how we're choosing people in 2026. On February 1st, we're going to move to having two services on a Sunday. We'll have services at 9 and 11 a.m. We're given a little extra time to move that parking lot. You all know it's very tiny, you know. But I want to tell you, I'm really blown away that we get to make this choice. Because I can remember when 75 of us said that we would come here and start this thing. I can remember when we were just launching something new, and now I look and I think we're reaching nearly 300 people as a community. That is amazing. And over, I witness you all making choices that have led to this kind of growth. I witness you when you see that person who is lost in the gathering area, you intercept them. You talk to them, you welcome them. I've witnessed you do things like hold babies and open doors and serve donuts. I just witnessed you show up again and again and again for this community, and I am so, so grateful for the ways that you do that. So we're going to choose people together in the coming year, and we're going to be on an adventure as we do that. I know we are going to learn things. We're going to have questions. It's probably going to feel the way that change feels, which is new and uncomfortable and exciting, all wrapped in one. But we're going to have a lot of conversation about this as we make our way toward February 1. After the service, I'm going to be at a table right outside these doors at the ministry fair. I have this handy little new service fact sheet for all of your questions that you're asking and more. But I invite you to come pick that up. And I want to invite you to think about being part of a new service launch team. So I'm looking for about 50 of us to say, hey, we're going to start this 9 a.m. service. We're going to support it. We're going to serve. We're going to invite people to join us. So come talk to me. If you're interested in doing that, sign up at the table outside. But I'm really excited for this new adventure that we get to go on. Now, you know, when we make a choice like this, I think in many ways we get to model the kind of faith that Abraham has. Because when we make that kind of choice, we get to choose with God's promise in mind. As Abraham turns toward the desert, as he gets ready to go there with all of his people, all of his stuff, like everything he owns, he makes that choice simply based on the things God has promised him. I mean, he knows what God has said. He knows God has said good things are coming his way. He knows that God has said something amazing is going to happen through him. But he doesn't have the how. He doesn't have all the logistics figured out. Like, he does not have a 5-year plan or a nicely color-coded spreadsheet. And as someone who appreciates both of those things, I'm sure that was hard for him to act on that kind of faith. But even though he does not have a roadmap, he does have a God he can trust. And I think Abraham's ability to do that in this particular moment, I think this is one of the biggest pieces of his legacy. His willingness to step out in faith like this. His people are going to be doing this for generations to come. This kind of faith that can trust God has become a cornerstone of his story and his people's story and our story today. Abraham's ability to choose based on faith over certainty, it sets him apart. And there is a stark contrast how choices are made in this story based on that thing. Because if we look at Lot, if we go back to him and the choice that he made, Lot isn't quite able to choose in this manner. He can only choose the thing that's in front of his place. He can only choose what he perceives as concrete evidence. And it's so logical if you're Lot, but it also turns out to be a very real limitation for him. I don't know if you are super familiar with Lot's story, and this is your like Bible reading homework. If you're not, I'll send you to do that this week. But his story doesn't have the happiest ending. There's a lot of heartbreak in there. There's a lot of stuff that goes wrong. And I think in many ways, this choice, it sets the stage for all of that heartbreak to come. It kind of reminds me of that scene at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Okay, Indiana Jones is a movie made in the 1980s, not the quarterback of the Colts. That's not what I'm talking about right now. And what I'm about to tell you about this movie, you can't get mad at me for spoiling it. This movie's 36 years old, friends. You've had time. But in this movie, Indiana Jones, he's in this group of people that are searching for the Holy Grail. And in like the big ending scene, they come to this cave. And there's all these cups, and the bad guy with him, he's going to drink from the Holy Grail because it's going to give him eternal life. But to do that, they have to choose which is the right cup. And there were all these cups in front of him, and the cup that is chosen, it looks like the most obvious choice. It's fancy. There's jewels. They hold it up, and the music swells, and they're like, it's fit for a king. And then he takes the cup, the bad guy does, and he dips it in the liquid, and he's like, eternal life, and he drinks it, and there's this moment, and then he turns into this like nasty skeleton, and he sort of like dissolves into dust and bones in front of everyone, and it's very impressive special effects for the year that this movie was made. But the correct cup that he should have chosen, it's not obvious at all. It's this plain wooden cup. It symbolizes the humility of Christ, and maybe most importantly, it doesn't look like what anyone would expect. The way that Abraham ends up going, the way he handles this choice, I don't think it looks like what anyone would expect him to do. But it's through Abraham's faithful choice here that God continues to move. Because when we act in faith like this, we find ourselves invited to something that might feel a lot less certain, a lot less sure, but it's something that we're able to trust because it comes from a God who loves us and a God who can be trusted. You and I, we have so many chances to make that choice to act in faith, to choose to be what part of what God is doing. And, you know, this moment that's about to happen in this room, this is one time we get to make that choice every year. But I think it's a really important time because it's the time we get to do that work to make those choices as a community. It's not just about us as individuals, but it's about us as a church. You know, when we pledge, we can't predict what the next year is going to bring. We don't get like some little future cast when we turn in that card. That's not how it works. But what we can trust is that whatever the next year brings, God's going to be in it. God's going to be working, and we get to be a part of it. And we can know that whatever we show up to give, God's going to use it. So if you need a reminder of how God's shown up, what God has done over the last year, I'm going to invite you to watch this video. This is our year in review video. And just as you watch it, let yourself pay attention. Pay attention to what you feel, what you see, the way that God has moved through St. Luke's in 2025.
Father, in our hearts you've placed a prayer. For the mission of your kingdom everywhere. To be doers of the word, to be a people of good works that you've prepared. The fruits of faith are pure and unstained. To serve orphans and widows in their pain. Ourselves from pride and in trial and temptation to remain Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us be your hands and feet, Lord. Let us serve as one. Let us be the church.
So our band is going to come up in just a moment, and they're going to play a closing song for us. And during this time, this is when you can fill out your card, bring it up to one of these two baskets, and then you know we have your St. Luke's mug for you. If you've been around here a minute, it's a big deal. But we've got your St. Luke's mug, one per sort of household pledging group of folks. But I want to say a couple words right before we do that, okay? First of all, a word for our guests. We have a lot of guests here today. I've been a guest on Pledge Sunday at churches. What a thing to be. Here's what I want to say. If you are a guest, if you're like super brand new, you're like, oh no, it's my first time. What do? There's zero pressure. Like, release the pressure of this. It's not weird if you don't come forward. Don't feel that. But I do want to ask you something. Would you pray for this community? Because in all sincerity, as we keep growing, as we try new things, those prayers matter so much. So I would invite you to pray with us, no matter how long you've been here. For those of you that have never made a commitment before, that's a big deal. We're grateful that you're considering doing that. For those of you that give year after year, look at what you've created. Look at the ways you've partnered through God. Friends, as you give, I want you to know that we are so deeply grateful for it. We're grateful for the ways that you support this church and the ways that you listen to the movement of God's Spirit. So you'll be invited. Come forward at any point during this song. There's no real rhyme or reason or order to it. But know that as you come forward, as you place your card in this basket, you are part of something bigger than just yourself. You're part of a whole. You're part of a faith community. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll give our pledges and intentions together. God, I thank you that we get to give together. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I'm blown away by it. And it's through our gratitude, Lord, that we respond. It's through our collective choice to do your work in the world, to be your love and your hope in the world that we give today. So God, I just thank you in advance. And I look forward to what you will do in this place in 2026. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.